Our first reading this morning is taken from Psalm 119, beginning at verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please do stand as I hand over now to Stuart, who will read from our gospel for us this morning. Over to Stuart.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 10, 8 to 23. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and sickness. Jesus sent out the 12 with the following instructions. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest upon it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. But be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Thank you so much, Stuart. It's really lovely to see so many of you engaging with this service on social media, sending your messages and your waves from all over the country. Please do keep that coming. It's wonderful to see that engagement. I'm going to hand over now to the almost Reverend Sarah Richardson, not quite, but almost, come this autumn, as she continues our sermon series on how to hear God's voice, this morning looking at God speaking through Scripture. Over to Sarah.
If you have been following our sermons at St. Paul's for the last few weeks, you'll know that we have been thinking about how to hear God's voice. Not can we hear it, but how do we hear it? Today is the last of the five CS elements of the series, Commanding Scripture. I think that title can make the Bible sound daunting and a little unapproachable. And if you only remember one thing from today's sermon, please let it be this. The Bible is not designed to be unapproachable and difficult to understand, or a way to test or trick us. It is the Word of God, the God who loves us and desires our salvation. It is a good gift, not a nasty surprise. Commanding Scripture, as with all the other CS elements we have looked at, needs to be taken in conjunction with the others. If you think that the Bible is saying something, but common sense, the wise counsel of your saintly friends, or the compelling Holy Spirit is telling you otherwise, then I urge you to revisit that Bible passage and to weigh it up again. What the Holy Spirit is saying and what the Bible is teaching us are not going to be in contradiction with each other. The Bible is abundantly clear about some things. We are to love God, to love one another, to feed the poor, to be stewards of creation. We can be confident that God's word is clear on these issues. But other questions won't be easily answered by looking at the Bible. Should I leave my job? Which university should I go to? Should I move house? How might I serve at church? How can I best help my neighbour? These require a bit more effort from us to help us to hear what God is saying through Scripture. Remember, when we're reading, that we are reading a translation of the Bible. This doesn't mean it's not God's word, it is. But remember that we have interpreted it through what was originally written in the Hebrew and the Greek, as we translate it, and that the Hebrew and the Greek itself was written over several centuries by different people in different circumstances. It's good to pick a translation that you feel comfortable with. We could talk about translations for a long time, but pick one you feel comfortable with. It is a piece of unified, holy writing, and it is not a jumble of books. The thread of God revealing his love for creation can be seen throughout. The psalm in our reading today, Psalm 119, is full of praise and adoration for Scripture. It is stunningly crafted. It's an acrostic psalm of 22 equal verses, so one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In our original Hebrew, in the 119 that we've read, each of the lines of each verse starts with the relevant letter of the alphabet. The translation into English prioritises the meaning of the psalm over its style or form, so we lose this acrostic in translation. But the psalm is all about God's Torah, what we sometimes translate as the law. And it's thought that one of the reasons for crafting the psalm in this full acrostic fashion was to demonstrate the fullness of God's law, the all-encompassing nature of Scripture. Yes, not every individual circumstance can be found in Scripture, but everything we need to know is found there. We can hear God's voice for every part of our lives in the completeness of his word. The psalm is a Hebrew way of saying that the Scripture is the A to Z for our lives, the Hebrew Aleph to Tav. You may wonder why I chose to start the reading at verse 105, and the reason is that this is the longest psalm and the longest chapter by a long way in the Bible. There are 176 verses. I picked these verses so that we could use the images of the body parts in them to help us reflect on this Bible passage, on how we can hear God in Scripture. But if you do read all of 119, and I would encourage you to do that, you'll find that there is this continual referral to God's law. There are 8 synonyms used in this psalm for Torah, for God's law. And at least one of those is used in every single verse, all 176, except for verse 122. And these synonyms are law, word, promise, judgment, statutes, commandments, testimonies, and precepts. God's law isn't how we feel about law in English. It's not just a set of rules. It's a whole way of being given in love by God. When Jesus came and said that he was the way, the truth, and the life, all of that can be found here in 119. God's law, the Bible, is a way for us to hear from God today. So let's look at the text. I'm going to split it up into 4. So the first 2 verses. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. The lamp illuminates our way. We still have to make the decision and to walk the path, but God uses his word, the Bible, to show us the way. As I was reading a commentary when I was preparing for my sermon today, I realised that in my head, I have been visualising this psalm entirely anachronistically for quite a lot of years. This was not written, which I obviously do know, when people had street lamps which would illuminate the way ahead without any effort from them. They would be able to see maybe the whole street. These people would have been carrying their own lamp, their own torch, their own flame, which would offer them just enough light to see the next few steps. It's a real act of trust, and we have to carry that lamp, carry the word of God. And we can trust it to give us enough light for the next few steps. We can see where we should plant our feet, and we can be sure that they will be good footsteps. But it won't plot out the entire journey at a glance, as some of us might really like to see. Much like in the book of Exodus, when the Israelites in the wilderness were sent manna by God each day. They were to gather the manna to eat every morning, but just enough for the day. If they kept it overnight, worms came, it went mouldy, and they couldn't eat it. But God had promised them that he would give them more every morning. And I think it's a little bit like that with our lamp. We know that there will always be just enough to keep us going. We just need to trust. A few steps at a time, a bit more light, we can see a bit further. We need to approach the Bible knowing it is completely trustworthy. It's God's word, and we know that God is faithful. So the second bit. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. We need to praise God before we read. Thank him for the Bible. It is such a gift to have this. If you have never read the Bible before, or you're nervous about it, or you don't know how you might understand it, there are easy ways to help. I prefer to read the Bible in print. I'm a paper book person, not a Kindle person, but lots of people enjoy reading it on their phone, and you can get commentaries to go along with that to help you to understand it and to read it well. But scripture is really meant to be proclaimed. It's meant to be read out loud in a community of people. This is why we read the Bible out loud in our services. We don't just ask you to find a passage and read it quietly to yourself in our Sunday worship. We want to proclaim the word of God aloud. So if that makes a difference to you, find an audiobook version and listen to it. Just taking a moment to praise God before we start, though, asking him to help us to focus our minds on him, can make a huge difference to our Bible reading. Teach me your laws, the psalmist said. He wants God to be teaching him. We can ask God the same too. Teach us, Lord. The third part. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare before me, and I have not strayed from your precepts. We have to use our hands. We have to take some responsibility. The original hearers, as I mentioned earlier, would have been well used to carrying their own oil lamps. And they would have known how to trim the wicks, how to refill the oil. I suspect you learnt that at quite a young age. In the same way, we need to put a bit of work in and learn how to handle and understand the Bible well. We can't just dig in and look for random verses and hope that that will help us on our way. I really believe there's no shortcuts here. We just need to get on and read the Bible for ourselves. The more regularly, the better. I really think the best way to use the Bible for guidance is to use it regularly. If we only read the Bible when we want an answer to a specific question, it is much more likely that we are going to misread it. And believe me, I have done this many times. There are different reading plans if you want to be somebody who follows a really set pattern, and it really helps you to read the whole of the Bible and not just the bits that you quite like or are already familiar with. And if you're in the habit of reading regularly, it often happens that when a particular worry or question comes up in your life, you realise that just a few days earlier, you did read something that was actually really relevant to that. You don't have to go looking. God speaks to us through the text, day in, day out. Reading the Bible is spending time intentionally focused on God, on our time with him. And sometimes when I have read my Bible out of habit or duty, rather than really wanting to, something unexpected happens and a passage feels really relevant to my current situation. And it's part of that discipline of just thinking, I will go to the Bible and read it, even though I really don't feel like it today, or I don't feel like I understand this passage right now. That's okay. God can use that. I think one of the best ways to read the Bible is with other people. That could be one of our home groups here at St. Paul's, which are still going, by the way. If you want to join one, please do. They're still running online at the moment. It could just be you and a friend. It could be with an online community, such as the Bible Project or a Bible commentary book. There's loads of different ways. Or you could listen to Stuart Wilson's talks on Joshua and on Mark on our website. There are lots of opportunities to be able to read the Bible with others, to think about it with other people. It's really good to hear about how others read the Bible, how they understand what God is saying. And if you're specifically thinking about something, ask a friend to read it together with you with an expectation that God can speak to you about that thing through scripture today. So the last part of this psalm that we're reading. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. The joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees. But is it really? I ask myself. When I read the Bible, am I really prepared to listen to what God is saying and to allow myself to change? It is surprisingly easy to read the Bible with your fingers in your ears. I have done this many times. And I still do. Because sometimes the word of God, the lamp unto our feet, illuminates the parts of our lives that are not in accordance with God's will. For us, for our world, for his people. And we need to repent. I need to repent. The word of God calls us to repentance, to a change of heart. And sometimes that is really hard. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. God is faithful and his word does not change. But we can come back to it day after day, month after month, year after year, and we will see different things. It will be the joy of our hearts. We will love the Bible, the word of God ringing in our ears so that we can draw on it time and time again as we listen to hear his voice.
Thank you so much, Sarah. We are not only going to miss you, but we're going to miss your preaching so much. Thank you for bringing that word for us this morning. I invite you now, if it's your custom, to stand as we affirm our faith in this God who longs to be in conversation with us today, using the words of the Creed. We say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do take your seats. I'm going to hand over to Pat now, who will lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you, Pat.
Father, we thank you that you are ever present, just waiting to hear from us. And we rejoice and thank you that soon our church doors may be opened again to welcome us individually, in prayer and quiet personal being with you. And Lord, we know that although those church doors have been shut and locked during these weeks, the doors to your heart are never shut, are never locked, Lord. And so we thank you and we ask, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Father, we pray particularly for all those who, in their work, have great need of you at this time. For medical workers, scientists, government leaders, church leaders, people who keep our lives going. Lord, protect them. Give them a desire to work together and to work universally for the good of everybody. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, we lift to you all who are suffering, the sick, the bereaved,